The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Ben is one of our college students in the college, and the other night he and Joey wanted to be a blessing. So Daniel and Edna are getting married, so they decided to go over to the gas station, get some gas. And so they're in the pickup truck, and they pull up to the gas station, and on the back of it, it says, "Just Married." They got out, and they got gas, and the lady stopped them and said, "Congratulations." So on the way back, Joey dove in the back of the pickup truck. Ben was in a hurry to get back here. He wanted to get as far away from that gas station as he could. So he's racing down the road here, and Joey's hollering, "Ah!" So people are looking to see where that voice is coming from. Oh, I tell you what, it's fun to serve the Lord, isn't it? Even when it's incriminating. John chapter 14, look at verses 1 through 3. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, please. The Bible says, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I want to speak to you tonight about what really took place in Bethlehem. What really took place in Bethlehem. I want to talk to you a little bit about heaven before I get into the message. And there are, and I'm going to give you some things that are no more in heaven. There's no more tears in heaven. I want you to think about this. No more death in heaven. There's no more cemeteries in heaven. No more hospitals in heaven. No more tombstones in heaven. No more broken homes in heaven. No more nervous breakdowns in heaven. There's no more misunderstandings in heaven. There's no more heartaches in heaven. There's no more TB in heaven. There's no more diabetes in heaven. No more AIDS in heaven. No more sickness in heaven. No more whoremongers in heaven. There is no murderers in heaven, no rapists in heaven, no graves in heaven, no funeral homes in heaven. There's no funerals in heaven or no caskets in heaven, no sorrow in heaven. There's no heartbreak in heaven or no broken dreams in heaven. There's no pain in heaven, no surgery in heaven, no medicine in heaven, no cancer in heaven. There's no headaches in heaven, no toothaches in heaven. There's no one to fear in heaven. No fortune tellers are in heaven. There's no liars in heaven. There's no movie houses in heaven. There's no rock music in heaven. There's no cursing in heaven. There's no homosexuality in heaven. There's no smoking there, no dipping there, no gossip there, no hatred there. There's no covetousness there. There's no revenge there, no robberies there, no profanity there, no soap operas there. No rap music there. There's no country music there. No liquor there. No liquor stores there. No adultery there. No fornication there. In heaven, there's no envy. There's no jealousy. There's no stealing. There's no killing. There's no gambling. There's no Playboy or Playgirl magazine there. In heaven, it's a wonderful place. Matter of fact, heaven has the glory of God. Heaven has the throne of God. Heaven has the mercy seat of God. Heaven has the gates of pearl. And by the way, on those gates, there are 12 names of the tribes of Israel that is written there. May I remind you, please, Esau's name could have been there, but he traded it off for just a pot of stew. Can I remind you, please, that there are those that will walk down the streets, yea, street, main street of gold there. There's Jesus that's there, and he's the light of heaven. There's pure water there. There is that which is the tree of life that abideth by the water. There is no more thorns in heaven, no more serpents in heaven, no mosquitoes in heaven, no mice in heaven. There's no rats in heaven. There's no spiders in heaven. There is no winter in heaven. No frost in heaven. No heat waves in heaven. There's no dying flowers in heaven. There's no failing leaves in heaven. There's no brown grass in heaven. There is no sweat in heaven. No unpleasantness in heaven. There's no labor disputes in heaven. There's no Facebook backbiting in heaven. There's no strikes in heaven. There is no Twitter in heaven. There is no there's no internet in heaven. Now, some of you don't want to go. And there's no lust in heaven, no sea in heaven. There is no other Bible in heaven but the King James Bible. There is no Hollywood whores in heaven. There's no casinos in heaven. There's no immodest dress in heaven. Can I tell you, heaven's a wonderful place filled with God's glory and grace. Heaven is a place that you and I can enjoy throughout all eternity, and it's all because of Jesus. Now think about this. Even in Jesus' name, he thought of us. There's Jesus. So he even thought about us in his name, Jesus. Jesus left eternity to come to time. Jesus left that which is omnipotence, if you would please, to come to that which is confinement. Omnipresence, to come to that which is confinement. He left the adoration of the angelic host to be able to be rejected of wicked men. He left that which is the gates of pearl to come to a stable door. He left that which is the street of gold to come to rocky roads of Judea. He left that which is the eternal rest to come to that which is an earthly weariness. He left that which is the object of servitude to be able to come as just a simple servant. He left that which is the fellowship of the Father to be able to come to a life of loneliness. He left the praise to be able to come to profanity. He left the cheers of that which is the redeemed saints to come to the jeers of that which is the depraved sinners. He left that which is the crown of glory to wear that which is the throne or that which is the crown of thorns. He left that which is a city that's eternal to come to a city that has graves and come to a city that has tombstones. He left that which is a heavenly throne to come to a cruel cross. He left that which is a city that has no night to come to a place that has constant darkness. He left that which is a place of no sickness to come to a place of eternal darkness. He left that which is a place of being exalted to a place of humiliation. He left that which is the glory of God and where God himself is the complete joy to come and to be able to encamp around those that are full of sorrow. He left that which is a heavenly mansion to come to take up the shop in a carpenter's way. He left that which was the darlingness of heaven, who he was, to be able to come down to earth and be despised of men. He left that which is a place of peace to come to a world that has no peace and a world that's filled with war. He left that which is being the one that is the judge to come to a place where he would be judged. The Bible talks about over in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 6 that Jesus was equal with God, but he stepped down from that. The Bible talks about over in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 7 where he had a reputation, but he stepped down from having a reputation and he now had no reputation. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible talks that he was served in heaven, but he came to be a servant. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7 again, we see where Jesus is like God, but now when he comes to earth, he's like men. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 8, you'll see that Jesus is honored, but then he became humble, even to the death of the cross. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 8, the Bible says, being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But can I tell you one thing about our Jesus? One day the Pope will confess that Jesus is Lord. One day Madeline Murray O'Hare will confess that Jesus is Lord. One day every atheist that has ever breathed a breath will confess that Jesus is Lord. One day Oprah Winfrey will confess that Jesus is Lord. One day the Supreme Court will confess Jesus is Lord. One day every rock and roll group and country music group will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He stepped down from being equal with God. He stepped down, if you would please, of having a reputation and being served and being honored. And he came to sinful earth. And when he stepped down, listen to me now, he stepped down to be able to meet your need. He stepped down to be able to meet my need. He stepped down to be able to take up what is it that is the Savior of the world being born in Bethlehem. What is that all about? Well, let me give you just a couple of things about what happened in Bethlehem. Statement number one, he came as a lamb. He came as a lamb. Does it surprise you that a lamb would be born in Bethlehem? Does it surprise you that even more that a lamb would be born in a stable? He came as a lamb. Does it surprise you that when a lamb is born, the shepherds show up? Because after all, who do the shepherds shepherd but lambs? And so the shepherds show up when he was born as a lamb. Does it surprise you when he was coming over the Mount of Jordan, it was John the Baptist that looked at him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sins of the world." Does it surprise you really tonight that Jesus Christ came as a lamb, the Lamb of God? What happened in Bethlehem? He came as a lamb. What happened in Bethlehem? He came as the high priest. Jesus Christ is the lamb, but Jesus Christ also is the lamb that shed his blood for sinful humanity. Jesus Christ walked into the Holy of Holies and laid down his blood. You remember that there was a time when all of a sudden there was, I believe, one of the ladies came up to him and said, I want to touch you. And he said, "Don't touch me, for I'm not yet entered into that which is the presence of God." He was talking about that he could not receive the touch. But then it was a little while later, I believe it was Thomas that came up to him. And Thomas, as he came up to him, the Savior said, "Touch me and see. Thrust your hand into my side. Touch the prince in my hand." You know why? Because he had entered into that which is heaven, and he did his priestly duty, and he laid down the Lamb's blood in the Holy of Holies on the mercy seat to pay for the sin debt that you and I owe that only the priest could do. So he came as a lamb. He came as the high priest. He came as our intercessor. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Well, I remember coming up as a young man and being raised in my Catholic roots, my Roman Catholic roots, and I remember on Saturday evening sometimes I would go up to the church house and I'd be at the church house, and then when I was at the church house there at St. Bartholomew's Catholic Church, I remember going into the confessional booth and the priest would be there and I would kneel on one side and I'd confess my sins to him, and he would tell me how many different prayers to pray in order to be able to receive forgiveness of sin. Boy, I tell you what, when I read that verse, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, my world changed forever. Can I tell you, he's the one that is the high priest. He's the one that is our intercessor. He is the one that we can go to, and he is the one, if you would please, that would take those prayers that we pray, and just like Brother Hernandez does when we have the Lord's Supper and he comes up here and he interprets for me, then our Lord Jesus will be the one, if you would please, that will make sure that the prayers, as we go through him to the Father, that things are done in right order. He's the judge at the judgment seat of Christ. He's the one that will sit upon the throne. He is that one that is the judge. He's the one that bore our sins on Calvary, but he is also the one that's going to sit at the judgment seat of Christ. Can I tell you something else? According to Revelation chapter 5, he is the owner of the worlds that are. He's the owner of everything. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5 that the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Did you know that everything in this earth belongs to him? So you and I ought to give an account to everything that we do. Why? Because everything belongs to him. He's the one that owns it all. I mean, when's the last time you ever stopped and just said, thank you, Jesus. By the way, watch this. Why don't we do this at Christmas time? Why don't we sit around and why don't we talk about how good God is? And why don't we talk about around the Christmas tree what God has done for you this year? Amen. Has He answered a prayer for you this year? Has He worked in your heart this year? Has He worked in your children's heart this year? Has He done anything in your life this year? You know, so many times we give the accolades of praise to those that are beside us, but what about the one that made it all possible so that we could be here tonight? Can I tell you, I know that America has her faults, and I know that we live in a country where it seems like that there is an anti-Christ movement, and I understand that, but can I tell you, it's still the best nation in the world. And I think you ought to thank God for that. I mean, I think you ought to get down and just say, God, thank you so much. You've given me another day to serve you, and thank you. I've got a daddy that loves me. And I heard kids say this. They said, well, I tell you what, my daddy is never home. But because he's working the way he's working, can I tell you that you got food on your table, you've got clothes on your back, you got a place to sleep, you got a roof over your head. God has been good to you. And I think we ought to take time during the Christmas season to thank the Lord for all that He has done. Thank the Lord that you have the freedom. Thank the Lord that you do have the clothes and you do have a place to sleep and you do have a vehicle that gets you from A to Z. And thank God that if you are married, that you have a wife or a husband, or if you have children, thank God for them. And thank God that you have a church that stands true to the Bible. And thank God that you've got a place where you don't have to apologize for the preachers preaching to your children. Now, I'm saying this tonight. You ought to thank God for some things this Christmas time. He's the one, if you will, that made the mountains, the sun, and the heavens. Can I tell you, you ought to be thankful to Him tonight. The Bible says over in Revelation chapter 5 and in verse 7, the Bible says, and He came and He took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat on the throne. The Bible says, and when He had taken the book, and the four beasts of the 20 elders fell down, and before the Lamb, listen to it, having every one of them harps and golden vessels, the Bible says here, full of odors. And it says, which are prayers of the saints. You know, He records every prayer that you have ever prayed. The Bible talks about how your tears are kept in a vial. You know, He knows every hair that's on your head, and yes, even the ones that are not there now that used to be. He knows it all. He cares very much about you. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. There's not one burden that you have tonight that He does not care about. There's not one struggle that you have tonight that He is not aware of. There's not one thing in your life that's happening tonight that He is not keenly understanding about. And can I tell you tonight that He is the one that in heaven there's a new song sung about. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, the Bible says, and they sung, it says, a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Why is it that He came to Bethlehem? He came to Bethlehem because He cares about you and I. He came to Bethlehem to fulfill the duty that was laid down before Him, given to Him as a mission from God the Father. When I pastored in Tennessee, more often than not, on a Sunday night right before Christmas, I would have a rocking chair and I'd put it up on the platform, and all I would do for that service, I'd simply have the children to come up. My wife will remember this, and the children come up, sit around that rocking chair, and I would simply read out of the book of Luke chapter 2, and I would read the story of the birth of Christ. And then we'd sing a song together that night, and people would pass out different gifts to different ones that was in the church. It meant something to them, and it was a very, 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 very family-oriented type of service. And then we'd get ready to pray, and then we'd go to the house. And can I tell you, I tried to bring it so that it was kind of a family. I think we saw that a little bit in our Christmas cantata this year. We had the story of going home for Christmas and at Christmas at home, and the choir did a spectacular job, and those that sang and those that acted in that and played different role parts. Can I tell you, Christmas ought to be a time when you're able to draw close to people. It ought to be a time. It ought to be a time, you listen to me, it ought to be a time, if you're away from mom and daddy, it lives in another state, that you take time to call them. It ought to be a time, if you live far away from a mom or dad or a brother or a sister or an aunt or an uncle, that you take time to text them or take time to send them a gift or do something. Do something to let them know that you care. Might ought to be a time where you take at least a little 3x5 card and you pull it out of your pocket and you just decide that you're going to write some things about your parents that you care about. Some things that you want to put down so that maybe they can take and have that and keep that for a long time. I got a file cabinet in my office, and on the left-hand side of my desk, if you pull out that bottom file drawer, it says friends, it says in, and then it says friends out. It says preachers in and preachers out. Two different, of course, file folders for each one. It says family in and then family out. And every time I write a letter, I'll make a copy of it, and I'll stick it in that file cabinet, in that one file that says out. And every time I receive a letter, I stick it in those categories, or three different categories there, and I'll stick it in that in file. Now, I want to tell you something. Over the years, I've appreciated all the letters my wife has written me. Over the years, I've appreciated all the letters my children have written me. And every single letter they've ever written me, they're filed by year. And I keep them. That way one day when I get older and gray, one day I'll be able to go back into those files and say, wow, I'd like to see some of those letters I received in 2014. I'd like to be able to see some of those letters I received in 2013 from friends and family and preachers. I'd like to be able to go through there and just kind of read those. And just see, I'd like to be able to see some of the letters I wrote them. Wonder what I wrote them about. Be able to pull those things out. Be able to read those. You know why? Because those things remind me. And can I tell you, you've got a Bible that reminds you. You have a Bible that reminds you about different things that God wants you to remember. And during this Christmas season, it ought never to be forgotten about the one that did the most for you. Used to be when we were really little that my parents had said, you need to write a letter to Santa Claus. That's what they said. So we'd sit up at night, we would write, this back when we were just real little kids, and we'd write a letter and say, Dear Santa. Then come to find out later, my daddy came in and he shocked me because he said, you know, we've been buying all those presents for you. I said, no. He said, oh, yes, we have. And he said, you know, we did that because we love you. And he began to tell me how much he loved. Now, he said how much he loved all of us. He never really ever came out, I don't think, told any of his boys, I love you. But he said, let me tell you why we do this, Mom and I, of why we love the entire family. And, you know, and he started to talk about that. And I remember those things. Now, can I tell you this? Can I tell you, during the Christmas time, you ought to take, I'm telling you, make it special. Don't let it pass. Don't let it pass. You know, you're here from college, you're visiting home, or maybe you're getting ready to leave our college and you're getting ready to go home. And I know that the Crutchers are driving up, I think, to Georgia, a 14-hour drive tonight after church. And I think that somebody else, I think, Rebecca, you're flying out tonight, right? You and your brother are driving back to Indiana way. And you're heading up to Indiana? Yeah. And where are you going? Tennessee, and you know, and you're in and out and up and down everywhere, and that's like me, you know. And so, but you can I tell you, look, can I tell you that's exactly why it's important to take time. Take time, you know, as you're driving in the car and you've got the kids back there. Hey, sing some songs. Okay, this is not going over too well. Hey, sing some songs. Just decide that you're going to take it and make it family. Hey, tell about how good God has been to you. You know, talk about it and be able to relate to your kids. And then, you know, if you relate to your kids enough, you know, it just might be that they'll fall in love with you more. Come on. Take some time if you've got a day off or so and go outside and play football with the boys. Come on. They can't hurt you too bad. They're just boys. You know, I mean, yeah, take some time and spend some time with them. Take some time, young lady, and go into the kitchen area and help your mom cook. Help her. Don't wait to be served. You serve. Matter of fact, how about this? How about making mom and daddy sit down at the table and you serve them first? How about looking for somebody that don't have a Christmas and invite them over? How about that? How about taking care of them a little bit? Now, I'm saying it's a time when we can reflect on the very goodness of God. It's a time, you know, all right, I'm done, but let me tell you, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I promise you I would not be here. Before I got saved, I didn't get saved until I was 18 years of age, I was heading rapidly down a wrong trail. Rapidly down a wrong trail. And who knows where I'd be tonight? I mean, who knows? You know, when I was in high school, we had two of our kids that was in high school that went down Maple Grove Road, and they went over, we called it Dead Man's Curve. And I had a boy and had a girl that went around Dead Man's Curve, and they did not make it. It was on Maple Grove Road, one of those real sharp curves, and you could go off, and you'd actually go off an embankment and go all the way down into the woods. And two of them got killed. I had one boy that was supposed to graduate with me, got leukemia. And he died his junior year. Well, God's been good to me. His brother got so depressed the very next year, and their barn was next to our barn where I grew up. The very next year, and went over there, and there's ambulances there and stuff like that. And his brother, the brother of the boy that died of leukemia, hung himself in the barn. And he died. And I think, man, God's been so good to me. I'm not one of these guys, and these guys can tell you, I'm not one of these guys that walks around sucking my thumb and getting poochie lip disease. But can I tell you this? God, but it's because of God. God has just been good. Now look, I can thank God for that. Yeah, God has brought girls into my boys' lives, and now they're all getting married and forsaken mom and I. You know, and Rebecca's got a guy that kind of likes her a little bit, and we're kind of batting him in the right direction. And so, now, can I tell you, look, I'm telling you that it doesn't take long for your kids to grow up, and it doesn't take long for things to change in your life, and it doesn't take long before you start to get old. Come on. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long till your shape changes of your body and your shape changes in your brain. It doesn't take long. You ought to make the very best of it. Amen. As you love and you help people. What was Bethlehem all about? The Savior of the world. The Savior of the world changed my life. Savior of the world changed my daddy's life and changed my mama's life. Amen. Savior of the world changed my brother's lives. Savior of the world. Amen. Savior of the world came into their lives when they invited them in as Savior. And can I tell you, it was like night and day. The difference that God made in their lives. And He can do that in everybody's life, especially in our life, if we'll let Him do it.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.